listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast. 200 Fox Sports Radio stations, 6 o'clock Eastern, drive time, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. It's Tuesday, which is the day after Monday night football. Two games to talk about. Steve Fezzik with a handicapping day. Very important to let him do his work. Brad Powers. He's the pro who knows. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You cannot have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, and we start on Straight Out of Vegas with the doubleheader in Monday Night Football and the wild one that went down to the wire. The New Orleans Saints, a 30-28 win over the Houston Texans on a 58-yard field goal to win it by Will Lutz. Pandemonium there in New Orleans, RJ.
It wasn't quite Tom Dempsey with the 63-yarder. Remember the guy kneeling? Yeah. Oh, that was awesome. I think maybe the lead story, and it should have led most shows. I think he didn't. RJ, another best bet winner. Yeah. We finished 3-2 in the Super Contest, starting off 60%. Let's do it. Here's what I want to start doing, Jonas. You're the voice of the fan, but you don't embrace this quite as much, but you're kind of the voice of conventional media. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
He'll take it. Yeah. Sounds like it pays well, right? All right. So what we want to start doing with these games, let's define quickly what everyone else is saying, and then we can either go beyond it, next level, or contradict it. And to me, this one is, wow, great game, exciting. It's a game of inches. We'll talk about that. Oh, each team could have won. Boy, oh boy, Watson's good. Woo, he's good. And then, boy, he took a lot of hits. Right? And then Breeze looked good, huh? Who knows? Maybe last year at the end, he didn't look as bad as we thought. To me, that's kind of the takeaways. Do you think that's true? What do you think I missed?
I think that, yeah, Drew Brees, give him credit, they did come back and win the game, but it's not like he set up a chip shot field goal. There was questionable clock management down the stretch. They should have probably used a timeout earlier.
From
Brees and the Saints.
But I guess the question is, moving forward, do you have any doubts? Are you going to say, boy, I like the Saints in this spot, but I think Brees and his inexperience, his clock management issues is going to be a problem. I mean, I think you might objectively be right, but do you feel like that's an issue?
I don't think it's an issue long term for them. He's done this long enough, and you trust Drew Brees in those spots. So it just could have been game one, caught up. They made a mistake, whatever. I didn't see anything last night that makes me believe that New Orleans is going to be right back at the top of the conference. I've always been skeptical in New Orleans this season.
Okay, and if you actually look at the records, and one of the limitations of the NFL, 16 games only, so you don't have as many games, right? Think about some crazy 16-game stretches during the baseball season. If you just took, you could really have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
Where Houston is like third in their division, that kind of thing in baseball. And it's still just 16 games. So, wise guys, Vegas often believes that the reason every year you've got that turnover of playoff teams isn't that the teams change all that much. If they played another 16-game schedule right when the season was over, you'd get a lot of variation. Same team, same everything.
That's a good point.
It's a game of inches. And I think maybe that's the first thing we should talk about. Colin Cowherd, Fox Sports Radio, he's our cohort. And again, Jonas doesn't like him. I do. What's interesting is I thought we do give Colin a lot of heat because the guy makes over 5 sticks a year. He should be good. He should be taking some heat. And we enjoy it because when he calls up, he's a little chagrined sometimes. We enjoy it. Let's be honest. And also, let's be honest, of all the people setting the agenda, setting the narrative, of the topics, even not so much how we should think about it, but what we should be talking about as sports fans. I mean, Colin Cowherd's at the top of that list.
Absolutely.
With a couple others, and he's right there. So it's fun to counterpunch him, and it's pertinent. I thought he had one of his best points I ever heard. And he said, this is a game of inches. He didn't say, quoting Pacino, but it's a game of inches. And Belichick will win these games. He was looking at it from the Houston side. Belichick will win these games, and the Houstons of the world don't. Now, we do, Brad, you and I, on separate days, Houston radio every week. They don't like O'Brien down there.
Nope.
I mean, it's just the – and again, it's usually the guys who are like the talk show guys in drive time, afternoon drive, are going to be kind of homers. These guys really aren't, but they're not the type to be contrarian. I think they genuinely just don't like O'Brien. We know it's hard to like the GM – because there is none, right?
Yeah.
and you look at the Tunsil trade, I'd make the case that did not bode well. No one's really responsible. No one's really got... There's a reason there's a chain of command in any organization. So, but I agree with Colin about the game of inches. And in a weird way, you could say, there's two ways to respond to that. One is to say that there's a lot of luck. So... you could say, oh, this team's 10-6. This team's 8-8. It's been a couple inches that is the difference. Do you say, see, that's why that 10-6 team, look at that organization. That guy wears a tie every day to work. Like whatever kind of pet theory you've got on what leads to success, you can point at it and find it in the people who the inches fall their way. There's another way to look at it. If you look back the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years in the NFL, but only go back as far as where you've got the same coach, you've got the same GM, however you want to look at it, and you could do both, and say, well, listen, if coach XYZ, if GM XYZ is the guy that wins the inches and the other guy isn't, you would think there'd be consistency of who has the best record in close games. And if you look... there's only two really consistent things. One is the Patriots win a lot of close games, and thus Belichick's a genius again. And the other, the Browns lose a lot of close games. Now you could say, well, who's the consistent part of that? Well, maybe it's just the color of the uniform, that puke brown. I don't know. Right? As a Steeler fan, there does seem to be something about the Browns. Who knows? There could be lead in the building that's seeping the IQ out of the people that step in it. I don't know, right? And otherwise, it's pretty much back and forth. It really is. Andy Reid, oh, he's a great... Sean Payton, that quarterback, nah. It really tends to even out, which makes you wonder how valuable the record is. Something Bill Simmons talked about a while back, I thought it was brilliant and didn't get any traction. Maybe you should have two records for a team. One is the games they win by or lose by more than a touchdown, and the others are one-score games. And throw the one-score games out. It could have went either way. Now, I get it. Sometimes a team's up by 10 late. Other team goes down and scores. And you could say, oh, they were winning easy. Yeah, you're right. But sometimes that's going to flip over.
Yep.
And in the long run, how many games do you dominate? How many games do you get dominated? And the others are pretty much a coin flip. It doesn't make the Tuesday after Monday as exciting. But cold cash over hot takes. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Houston is a great example of this. They finished the season, Brad, last year in one score games.
6-2 in one possession games.
Wow. Now, what were they earlier in the year?
They started the season 0-3.
Okay. And now they're starting this season 0-1.
0-1.
So you add it up, it's what?
6-6.
But if we were talking at the end of the year, we'd be like, Houston, they find a way to win the close ones.
Yep.
It's really no more or no less stupid than sitting with a coin and flipping it. And then you get three heads in a row and go, oh, I wonder, was the air conditioner on? Did I have my glasses on or did I have my pants on or my underwear just? Or you could think of all these reasons or it's, hey, it's a 50-50. And sometimes one out of eight times it's going to be heads, heads, heads. That's where math, you don't have to be a math guy trying to figure out the wind velocity. You just got to use logic. You know, I was talking to somebody today and I said, I kind of caught a catchphrase I might start using. It's life's a gamble. You might as well know how to win. I kind of like that, but I think it's true. So many things about gambling, and the research tells us that about half of the listeners are straight out of Vegas, do not gamble. So you might say, why do they listen? Well, they want to know more than their buddies about this, but they also, a lot of you like to learn, how do I think about it? Do I eat that one day old clam chowder that's half price? All right, well, what's the cost of the upset stomach? How much are you saving? What's the chance of it? We're all making those calculations instantly every day. Doing them efficiently will help you, I think, navigate life. So take away here, the big one. Yes, Drew Brees won a close one. In the long run, he's going to win and lose those. In the long run, so is Houston. Now, or any other team. I do think some people do it better. I just think the effects of that are small. And that kind of brings up the second point Colin made, which was being very critical of Houston. It was like, how can, and actually Stephen A. today led his show with the same thing. You know, Romeo Crennel, he's 72. And the idea about Brees only needed 10 yards. He only had 6 seconds. It's got to be an intermediate pass. Why have people 50 yards back? You know, Colin said the same thing. I agree with all of it. And I think in general, Houston probably ends up strategically losing a little bit more than they should. But then having Deshaun Watson being so dynamic on the other side probably helps them win a few more. So it probably evens out. But I do think that attention to detail does make the difference. And it feels like Houston, though Jonas hit it from the other side, oh, Brees could have been more efficient. What do you guys think? Do you feel like it was egregious the way Houston, open question, the way Houston defended late?
Yeah, it was a bad idea. I mean, you got to understand there was, 6 seconds left on the clock? You know,
I think so.
Yeah, and so you know where they're going. It's pretty obvious where they're going. And they don't have a lot of room to work with, nor do they have a lot of time. I just felt like they could have come up, pressed a little bit, gotten more aggressive, not given somebody a free release, and then take your chances at either an incomplete pass, it gets batted down, or they don't have enough time to get a timeout after the player goes down, or even back off and don't tackle him right away. You know, let him run a little bit while he's in bounds.
Yeah, and I think all that's logical. Brad, what do you think? About the same?
Yeah, I do.
Here's the thing, though, guys. Think about something you've done that most people haven't done. So, obviously, national radio is an example. Your weekend show goes all across the country, right, Jonas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was just a local thing. It's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Biggest in the country in that time. So, yeah.
See, I'm always setting him up. So. This guy's a grinder. I love it. I love a worker. I really do. I really do. Jonas Knox. Now, I do think just doing something like this, someone will say, RJ, you know what? 8 minute mark, you said Houston instead of the Texans and blah, blah, blah. It's like, come on, you talk for hours. And again, I'm doing an hour, which I love because we just hit, let's be candid, in June, it doesn't matter who you are, that third hour.
Oh, yeah.
You're thinking about, you know, what's the best, you know, let's do a segment on the best pizza places, you know, in each NFL city. Yeah. That actually sounds good. So there you go, right? But I've got that experience, Brad. You do, Jonas does in spades. And it's not as easy as it seems. If you talk for hours and hours a day, you're going to misspeak sometimes.
Yep.
But if someone sits there and they're at 7-Eleven as a cashier and they say, you know something, that Jonas Knox on the weekends, it's like he misspeaks at least once every 4 hours. You would think you could just talk. If you're getting paid to talk, you should just be able to talk. I mean, I'm kind of segueing in. Your guys are going, yeah, I've heard that. But, you know, this is almost like your airplane or your flight's taking off in 30 minutes. You're 8 minutes from the airport. You still haven't packed your last bag. And you're rushing, and you forget your razor blade. Are you an idiot? Or are the circumstances such that it may... And in an NFL game, I think Belichick thinks everything through at 4 levels, and he's got some quality control guy that his only job is to run up and say something. Who knows? I know he doesn't make hardly any mistakes.
Yeah.
Everybody else, if the situation gets tumultuous enough, if it's... Left, right, enough. You just don't even, sometimes you miss the obvious. So, yes, I believe that Houston should have done other than they did. I also think it's excusable. It's explainable. Yep. Most teams would make that type of mistake. Not necessarily in that spot that day, but let's say the odds of them making that mistake because of the harriedness of things, how discombobulated things were on the sidelines. Maybe any team that's average makes it 1 out of 7 times. Well, it was Houston's 1 out of 7. Now, would they make it a little bit more? Maybe. And those are the teams that tend to lose a few more close games. So, yes, it's true. No, I don't think we should be too haughty about it or too critical, because if you were down there, you might forget too, yep. No matter how good you are as a cashier or as a doctor or heart surgeon, it doesn't matter. It seems like, that's my last question. What industry is there that people don't make mistakes that someone that wishes they were getting paid like that industry isn't critical of? Whereas, he left the scalpel in. You think if he could just do one thing is take the scalpel out before you sew him up. Yeah. And maybe that doctor is high or something. But sometimes you just make mistakes. Sometimes you don't understand how tough things are. Maybe the scalpel is not the best example. You probably should get the scalpel out. Right? But to me, and Jones, let's be candid. I mean, as many hours as you do on the radio, I bet you've had people or you felt, was...
All the time. Stupid. All the time. And that's why I never get upset when people criticize me. And I don't understand why radio people or media get offended if somebody's critical of them. Our profession is to be critical of athletes and coaches, yet somebody's critical of our performance and we get all bent out of shape.
But I think that in both directions, it's unfair. I think it's too easy to be hypercritical all the time of what coaches are doing. Do you really think they're not one of the 32 coaches? They're one of the 50 best guys, or I guess college is going to have to. They're one of the best 100 people on the planet at this job.
Yes.
Almost in every case. Yep. Now, being 100th means you're the worst. Yeah. So you shouldn't necessarily not get fired. You might get fired, but you're still one of the best, right? The guy, there was a great line about Anna Kournikova, who didn't really, very beautiful, didn't win as much as some people thought. And one of the magazine articles I read said, Anna Kournikova is better at tennis than you will be at anything in your life. She was like, number 18 or whatever. And we were so mad at how bad that was. Think on that one. When we come back, I gave Colin some love. Now I'm going to crush him on Andrew Luck. He said something about Andrew Luck today, connected with Deshaun Watson, that to me is revisionist history.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will have a discussion regarding the future of an NFL Pro Bowl quarterback.
Well, we've got an announcement. Another station. Thanks for joining us. Now, you can listen every day, iHeartRadio app. You can listen to the podcast. Just search for RJ Bell. Sirius. But there's 200 or so Fox Sports Radio stations. And Straight Out of Vegas is booming. We grew a lot initially. We've been growing throughout the year or so we've been on. And the ratings show it. And you guys are the thanks. I want to personally thank you. If you look at our July numbers, compare them to October. Now, Brad, if you think October, you think sports is so much going on, right?
Absolutely. It's like one of the busiest sports months of the entire year.
So you would think the ratings would be better there.
Yes, absolutely.
In July?
Oh, it's the worst sports month.
People's on vacation.
Yeah, no one's listening.
I mean, your psychiatrist goes on vacation in August, right?
Yeah.
But, most go in July. Brad's looking at me like, should I say I don't have a psychiatrist? But July is not the month for sports talk. Our ratings this July were up 300%. That's 3X. It's just the start, guys. And we got a new station. It's in the Sacramento area, Sacramento, some would call it. And it's a format flip. So they literally said, we used to do whatever. Now we're going to do sports talk. And we certainly want Fox Sports Radio. We certainly want Straight Out of Vegas. So I'm excited. Now, this is an AM and FM. And that's the thing these days. The FM is key. It's 1290 AM, 102.9 FM general manager. Now, this guy sounds like the guy you don't want calling you to the office. Dino Corbin. Oof, it's like, imagine someone saying, yeah, I'm not feeling too good about this. I got a meeting with Dino Corbin. It's like, uh-oh. Jonas, you've been in a lot of local stations. Yeah. Do you want to have the meeting with Dino Corbin?
Yeah, no, listen, Dino has just got a bite to it. There's something.
It does.
Something
I like
Dino.
It. Yeah. And program director Mike Baca. By the way, last thing, the guy at Fox who puts these, he's grinding, he's on the phone. I saw him at the Super Bowl. He's got like three cell phones. It's like Ari Gold. He's eating a salad with one hand and he's somehow on two different cell phones with the other. I mean, it's pretty amazing. He's at Fox. His name is Kurt Kretschmar. And I think Kurt is awesome. I mean, I mean, like, literally, it's just the grind of this. And people might say, I don't care about Kurt. All right, fine. 5 seconds. But for a guy that grinds like that and he helps your show think about the people in your life and the people that help you, you got to appreciate him.
The best in the business.
All right. It's 100, or actually, it's not 100 for the first time in Vegas with the weather. 91 degrees right now, and the neon is flowing.
All right. So, RJ, I'm going to play a little rubbernecker here on the air. You know, those people that stop and slow down when there's a fender bender on the side of the road. I'm going to play one of those people that are passing by, because there's a fender bender that's about to happen here on Highway Fox Sports Radio, and it involves RJ Bell and Colin Cowherd. And RJ, you were not, I guess, too fond of his comparison of Deshaun Watson to now retired Andrew Luck.
But in your analogy, Andrew, or Jonas, I got to wonder, what happens if you're the one that put nails on the highway and now you're sitting watching the wreck? I think you're a little more involved here than you're letting on. Here's what I disagree that Colin said. He goes, oh man, Watson was good, but he's getting beat up. You see that line? He's getting beat up, and it's going to be the Andrew Luck story all over again. Okay, question number one. After last season, who was talking about, you know, Andrew Luck, I think it's about over for him?
Nobody.
Nobody. You know why? Because the conversation was, oh, finally, he's got a good GM. And they're finally drafting well. And they're emphasizing the line. And the whole second part of his career, it's going to be like Big Ben in Pittsburgh. That's been the talk. Or was the talk. Now, when he retired, it's one of two things. It's that he was hurt so bad, Andrew Luck, that it's unlike any quarterback we've ever seen. Because we've never had another quarterback retire like this, right? Top five quarterback.
Nope.
Less than 30, younger than 30, without a obvious career-threatening injury. We don't even know how long this injury that kept him out of the preseason was expected to be. I mean, we know we got lied to the entire time. Omission.
Yeah.
I don't know. But does anyone have that answer? If Andrew Luck had stayed with the Colts, when would he have played his first game?
Up in the air for week one, question mark for week two. The idea they threw at him was go on the PUP list, which I believe knocks you out for 6 weeks.
So what you're saying, Jonas, is 6 weeks would have been the outside of it.
Yeah, probably, most likely.
All right. So really, I get it. For some reason, Andrew Luck is so loved. I don't quite get it. Maybe it's his last name. I don't know. But you know what I think it is? It's usually loved by the quasi-intelligent ones, the ones that are smarter than the clerk at 7-Eleven, but not really smart. But then they think, if you look at the analytics, and anything in which the analytics can contradict what the guy at the end of the bar says, those half-smart people love to embrace it. And I think to some degree, there was some anti-luck because there was so much love initially. That they're like, the half-smart people are like, yeah, but, look at this number. And the amazing thing about that was when it ended up, as Jonas just said, I defy anyone to contradict me on it, a guy who had a 3 to 6 week injury decided to retire. That's all we know.
Yeah.
Was there anything else about the spleen this and the hip, that whatever crap he went through, that somehow that is... If he just got hit one more time, like a detached retina, Sugar Ray Leonard, he might go blind in that eye. No. Now, if you want to say it's okay that someone who's worth $100 million or whatever decides he doesn't want to go through the effort and the pain, fine. But he's the first one to ever do it, to make that decision. Who else has a quarterback?
Nobody.
No.
So he has an injury that would have been resolved in weeks. He had no injury in the past that clearly was a threat to him now. Now, let's acknowledge that there can be an accumulation of injuries, right? 7 surgeries on this hip, 9 on this knee. The guy's limping. I get it. Trying to avoid that. No quarterback's ever done it. Maybe we'll look back and he's a revolutionary. He's a pioneer. He's an innovator. Or maybe we're going to say he was soft compared to NFL players. Not compared to me. Not compared to us. To NFL players. He's the first ever. So to make it that somehow this is the beginning of a trend takes more than one person.
Yeah.
Right? And there's nothing about the league today that makes it more likely. Meaning if he had a bunch of concussions, then you could say, oh, he's retiring early to save his mind and look at all the CTE concerns. Now, that feels like a macro trend that's showing itself in the retirement. And I think linebacker from the 49ers, some other people retired, you could make that case. This was about legs.
Yep.
And I'm not saying he was wrong. I'm saying the fact that he does that, what I said is probably in the top 5% of critical of him, where I don't think you could even debate what I'm saying, like legitimately on the other side. Because what you'd have to say is, well, this has happened before. Well, no, it hasn't. He's injured worse. Okay, how? I don't know how that is. All right. Big Ben's been injured just as bad. You could make the case. And again, fine, retire. Take your 100 mil. That's great. But don't make him out to be a hero and don't make him out to be the beginning of a trend. Right?
Yep.
Jonas,
I think that Andrew Luck had it mentally. He was done. I think this is a mental
thing.
And
what other NFL quarterbacks that were in the top half of the league have been mentally done enough to quit in their prime?
None.
Okay.
And that's why he got pushback.
Well, did he?
Yeah. Well, there were former players. Steve Berline was very vocal about it.
You're pointing out a couple out of 100. Yeah. So, fine. Now, Deshaun Watson, he's taking a lot of hits. Could he, and he's got a knee that he's, you know, that's been what,
twice.
2 times, right?
Yep.
Who knows? Bone on bone. I get it. And they should have a good offensive line. If you have if you got your kid in the car, you know, precious cargo. I get it. What, Deshaun Watson's precious cargo for your organization, for your team, no doubt. But what's this got to do with Andrew Luck? Nothing. And if you say you better get him a good offensive line or he might leave when he can, I'm all in. But if you say he's going to have to retire before the age of 30, then he'd be the second one to do that because, and again, every time you take a hit, there's a chance of a true catastrophic injury. And you can point the people that's had that. But Andrew Luck isn't that. So Andrew Luck is one of one. Deshaun Watson is one of many good quarterbacks that had bad O-lines that might affect how healthy they are and will likely affect who he decides to play for when it's his decision. Two very different
spot
things.
Spot on.
You agree?
I do.
I'll take it. Last thing. At the end, Colin goes, well, he said two things because he was the one that loved that Tunsil trade, right? He goes, well, let's not necessarily judge the O-line or Tunsil by last night's performance. It's like, okay, fine. When are we going to start judging it? Because Pro Football Focus says number 38. And Colin said top 10 moving to top 5. Well, top 5 should, top 10 should help your line.
Absolutely, it should.
And then he said, to wrap it all up, well, they better do something about that line moving forward. Well, it's not going to be in the first round. And it's not going to be with a free agent. You know why? Because Tunsil is close to having to be re-upped, which would be at an astronomical price. If you give up 2 number ones and a number 2, you better pay the guy.
Yep.
We were on Houston Radio. They said it would be a catastrophe if he left. It's like, that sounds like leverage for the player. So it just goes to show you, every time you overpay for something, it hinders your ability to buy something else you might need later.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
All right, so Raiders, surprising win. Let's go over the consensus mainstream, Jonas. It strikes me Big surprise?
Yeah, big surprise. Raiders look good. Derek Carr looked good. And the Broncos defense with Vic Fangio, who's one of the most respected defensive coordinators historically in the league, did knock it after the quarterback. No hits on Derek Carr, let alone sacks.
And let's be candid, this O-line for the Raiders was a big question mark.
Yeah, playing without two starters, both of their offensive guards.
And when are they due back?
Richie Incognito's due back week 3.
Is that a suspension, I think?
Yeah, two-game suspension. The other guy would be a couple
weeks.
What
would he do? How would he get into trouble? So, to me, and I get it, all the media guys that were mad that Gruden came in and as a hobby was better at media than they are, what do you do now, right? And I get it. It's one game. What's the over-under for the Raiders from here? Is it 5.5? Is the total wins on the season what? I don't know.
Five and a half? Yeah.
So we actually have in the next segment coming up Ken Thompson, who's been on the show a few times. He's has a big show here in Vegas, but he knows the Raiders left, right, center. Some stuff I don't even want to hear about sometimes. So in-depth. We'll talk a little bit about the Raiders there. Two, I thought the Raiders were at a huge disadvantage. I'm more impressed with this win than if Antonio Brown was injured. Let's say he was injured. His feet just weren't ready. He still wouldn't have been on the field for this game. To me, overcoming the distractions of it.
Yep.
Talk about left, right. You know, he's playing, he's not playing. The line's moving, the line's plumbing. Okay. And Gruden kept them focus, it seems, throughout. Let's give credit where credit's due.
Absolutely.
And people say, oh, he's mugging for the camera. It's back to knowing the rules of the game. He's playing one game there, and he's playing another game in the locker room itself when the camera's not on, which is a vast majority of the time. I don't see that game, but based on the results of the football game, got to give him good grades. I also would make the case, we're straight out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell talking with Brad Powers and Jonas Knox in LA. Open question. I would make the case that the youth movement with the Raiders, that if you look at the undrafted free agents making the team, if you just look at the core of this team, it's not like, oh, they're the next, you know, Seattle Seahawks surgeon 6-7 years ago. But boy, it feels like the trend line's in the right place.
It does. I mean, not only the undrafted free agents, but they were criticized for a couple of their first round draft selections. Everybody produced last night that they picked up.
And I also think with Antonio Brown and him leaving and being so celebratory about it, I wonder if that was more of a rallying cry for the guys that were there. Like, hey, he wants no part of this family, so let's keep it together. Let's go out. Let's get inspired and let's play better football.
Great point. But there's a flip side to that. You would think Miami would respond that way. Hey, look, Tunzel left. It wasn't our choice. We didn't like the move, but we are the Dolphins family. Well, if you don't have, and I'm not saying the Dolphins do or don't. I think the whole idea of predicting how the Dolphins are going to respond to all this is pop psychology that is, it's just there's shortcuts to it. I think people are taking that aren't true.
He's not here, but I'm going to give some credit to Steve Fezzik.
Well, I was thinking the opposite.
Really? The Hard Knocks? He was mentioning how the Raiders have more of a family organization.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, repeat that point.
Yeah.
And it was during, I think it was the first episode.
First episode, the Hard Knocks are welcoming back the former Raiders players, and Fez was making the case. I don't think other organizations are doing it.
But he was saying that critically, though. Remember, he said, why are they wasting time having these dinners and drinking wine when they should be grinding like Belichick.
You're right.
Right? But maybe that is the point, is there is a sense of a Raider family. Now, is there a sense of a Dolphin family or not? I don't know. We'll see, I guess, to some degree. But I do think that the Raiders could say, what are we doing here? If that guy who's better than us on the field, he's made more money than us, Antonio Brown, maybe a little crazier, but who knows? If he's celebrating leaving here, why am I happy to be here? I mean, there's just that human, whenever someone leaves a party even, you look and go, I wonder why I'm here. And then you, if you have an answer, you stay. So let's give Gruden some credit. It's one game again. And we talked about sample size. We talked about every data point matters, but it doesn't matter as much as some people think. So let's end this segment. I tweeted this today. This is so important. The Zen of sports betting. And I've got a little archery emoji. The Zen of, think about that. Week 1 results affect NFL teams' ratings. Double as much, about, as late season games. So game one versus game 12, how much does the score matter? How much does the way the game played matter? Raiders look good. How much does it matter? About double the Raiders looking good in week 12. Why? Because we don't have the data. So each data piece is precious. At the same time, here's the Zen part. Most batters drastically overreact to week one results. So yes, the Raiders, this result matters more than a game later in the year, but don't overreact. It doesn't matter as much as you might think. When we come back, not one, but two early best bets in college football.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan.
Okay, wrapping up Raiders talk. We got a Raiders expert here. You might say, what does that mean? He hosted last season and this season the only post-game Raiders show in Las Vegas. Ken Thompson, college specialist. Also, quickly on the Raiders, though, number one takeaway, what did you learn from last night?
RJ, there were several, but Josh Jacobs showing me that he could be an every down back. He shared that backfield with Damian Harris and Najee Harris at Alabama. Last night, he showed me he could definitely carry the workload.
So we always worry about one game, but he looked good in preseason too, right?
Yeah, he had one game where he carried the ball 6 out of 7 plays and looked like maybe there was
potential. But not so much the load, but he looked good in the preseason. Now we're seeing he can, at least it looks like he can handle the load.
There you go. And going against first teamers, that looks better.
Now, I would say there's some people can stay up 4 hours or be on 4 hours sleep and be fine the next day. And then there's the people who can do it 5 days in a row. So we'll see, but a good sign so far. Now, last thing about the Raiders. Last year, probably, you know, Mac gone. The pressure was a big issue, the lack of it. What'd you see from the Raiders?
Yeah, last year was non-existent. They only had 13 sacks. The next closest team had 27. Last night, I saw consistent pressure. One of the sacks on Flacco was called back because of a penalty, but still good, solid pressure, and the secondary young and fast.
Ken Thompson. That's who he is. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Last thing on this game, Denver, Fangio. Now, you could say, hey, new coaches, it's a process.
Yep.
I mean, we always talk about that. You could be critical of Elway in a way, Brad, and I'm not sure I agree with that because this hasn't happened yet, meaning are we sure? Like, how much do you downgrade Denver? I think it'd be too much to make it much.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a point.
Yeah. So I think if we're 8 games in and Fangio's not working out, now you got to start looking at Elway, I think.
All right, it's time for an early best bet from Brad Powers.
Yeah, so here's what we're doing. Fezzik is going to usually be taking Tuesdays for his handicapping day. Wednesday, he'll be given his early best bet, which has won a bunch, and it's had a line move element, which means he'll predict which way the line moves. Brad, you're going to start doing this new feature on Tuesdays, early best bet college football.
It's going to be Michigan State -13.5. Now, I don't know for sure, but I do think the line's more likely to go up in this game, and here's the reason why.
Wait, so you don't know for sure? You're not 100%?
No, not 100%. And I would say in years past, there'd be a concern for laying points with a Michigan State offense that was non-existent. So taking it back to the preseason, the expectation was Michigan State's going to have a much improved offense this year. We didn't see it in week one, but last week the light bulb went on. Michigan State's best offensive performance in 5 years, and because of that, I think people would be more willing to lay the 13.5. Michigan State -13.5, early best bet.
Okay, so the more willing part is when the public gets involved, you see that line move happen.
Yeah.
But you like the game at 13.5 Michigan State.
I do.
Ken, we have 1 minute. You are going to be given on most Wednesdays or Tuesdays a bonus best bet college football.
Yeah, let's go Virginia. I like this Virginia team. Bronco Mendenhall has his team going in the right direction. Meanwhile, Willie Taggart, we all know Florida State going in the other direction. Very fortunate to get that win over UL Monroe and James Blackman. He struggled, but really, Florida State all the way around struggling. How about 11 penalties, 108 yards? That's just unheard of against a team that's non-power five. I think Virginia takes care of business in Charlottesville, wins by double digits.
Now, if I was a close listener to the show, I would say, well, wait a minute. You're saying a bunch of things about Florida State being bad, which are obvious. Isn't that the kind of obvious stuff that's built into the line? I think the answer to that is, it's not so much how bad the things are. It's you're seeing things that tell you it's not going to get better. Yep. This wasn't like a bad fluky thing. Rather, fundamental things are wrong, and that usually doesn't get better. So Virginia, best bet, Ken Thompson, Brad, Michigan State. Every Tuesday, you get two of them.
The Odd Couple is coming up next here on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are Straight Out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!